The San Jose Sharks Audio Network is on 24 hours a day. Whether you're in the office or on the go, make sure that you download the Sharks SAP Center app and hit listen anytime. You can also find us on your computer by going to sjsharks.com/listen. If it's a game broadcast, breaking news, or a player feature, the place to find it is right here on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.
Eklund with a shot. He scores! William Eklund caps an astounding comeback. The Sharks win it!
You're listening to the San Jose Sharks Morning Tide. Morning Tide.
Tyler Toffoli on a brilliant feed from William Eklund. Macklin Severini, his first National Hockey League hat trick. Smith shoots. Score! Will Smith just tied the game!
Now, here's your host, Ted Ramey.
Sharks have three forwards on the ice. Here's Matthews across the line. Loses on the check to Wenberg. Ferraro takes off the lead for Wenberg. Two-on-one developing. Wenberg moving in with Eklund. Back to Eklund. A shot. Save. Rebound. Score! Alex Wenberg gets the winner for the Sharks in overtime. Half the team goes to Wenberg. Half the team goes to Nedeljkovic. A huge win for the Sharks in Toronto. And a stunned crowd is going to go home with the San Jose Sharks winning by the score of 3-2.
It's so close. After reviewing the play, it was determined that the play was onside. We have a good goal.
Yeah, I'd say that's pretty spot on. I thought we did some good things. You know, I thought our game kind of would come for a little bit for a few shifts and it would go away for a few shifts. I think we'd shoot ourselves in the foot with a couple puck play mistakes. But for the most part, I liked the way the guys competed. We worked hard, did a lot of the things that we've kind of been talking about a lot of lately. And I thought we were resilient. So for us to come out here and get 2 points, you know, when it wasn't looking too good there for a little bit, especially after the offsides, no goals. So credit to the group.
All right, good morning, everyone. It is Friday, December 12th. The San Jose Sharks are coming off an overtime win against Toronto, and they currently occupy the number 2 wild card in the Western Conference. 33 points on the year, 15-14-3, and a big part of that is because of two reasons. One is they are winning the one-goal games. They are winning the overtime and shootout games. They have 7 on the year. That is the second best in the NHL. That is a huge factor for San Jose because last year, so many of those overtime and shootout games, they lost. That was one of the many factors last year that led us to talk about the losing by one goal or one goal plus an empty netter, such a big factor in their season. They consistently were on the wrong side of those results. And, you know, with so many decided by just one fewer goal, we had said if they had won just half of those, you know, and give them like, I think like 30 more points on the year, they would have been in the conversation for a playoff spot or wild card or, you know, again, in the conversation. Now, that's a huge if, right, to talk about a team that only had 20 wins and talking about them winning, you know, half of those one-goal losses that they had. Okay, that's a big if that is being answered this year up to this point because the Sharks are in a playoff spot and they are winning those one-goal games. Those are the tight games where the pendulum very, very rarely went in their direction. But the other part of this, the other thing that I wanted to get into is the Sharks are consistently giving themselves a chance. And I think that is the most important thing overall is that, yes, while there have been a couple of bad losses along the way, of which happens to every team in the NHL, I point, you know, the other day it was Anaheim getting blown out 7-0 by Utah. You know, the Sharks have had some bad losses this year. That's part of being a young team. That's part of life in the NHL because if you're not on your game and another team is, there's so much talent in this league right now that you can get blown up. But the Sharks are giving themselves a chance. And last night, they, for much of that game, did not have their best hockey on the ice. Yes, they had Dmitry Orlov getting them a nice goal to get them back into the game, but that was relatively late, so you didn't know if they were going to be able to eventually get their way back into it. But this is, again, what I am speaking to. It's the idea that San Jose keeps on giving themselves a chance. Even when everything is not perfect, as last night it most definitely wasn't, they still give themselves a chance. And that's, again, just a credit to how much growth this team has had in 1 year. And, you know, I remember the relative panic that existed with the 0-4-2 start to the season. I'm not saying that that panic from people was not invalid because we all expected to take a big step forward and they started off you know, very much in the way they had started off the previous couple of seasons, but they have taken big, big strides. And sometimes there's going to be a stretch of scheduling where you don't play your best hockey. And since the Sharks got that first win, you know, it's been full steam ahead, and you've got to really, really appreciate and respect the hard work they put into this and the way the attitudes have carried them, the whole, you know, way the team is comprised of veterans and young stars. It all plays into a game like last night, because you're down 2-0, and then late in the second, within a minute, by the way, of going down 2-0, you come up with a response goal, and it's Dmitry Orlov, a veteran that you brought in the offseason that knows how to win, that is a great locker room guy. It's one of the things that I consistently talk about with Orlov, because I didn't know, I mean, I knew he was a good player, but I didn't know his personality. On media day, he walks in to meet me and Dan, and he's got a Russian accent, but he comes in just extremely articulate, extremely intelligent, as nice and as humble as can be, gives a really, really great interview, very insightful answers, and it's like, oh, okay, this guy is very, very much interested in this side of it as well. Because I understand if guys don't want to always do the interviews on media day and it's a new team and they can be a little bit shy at times because they're meeting a lot of people for the first time. Dmitry Orlov walks in and just immediately wants to, you know, tell everybody how smart he is. I mean, he's not literally saying that, but that's what's coming across in the interview, how excited he is to be in San Jose. And then immediately, you know, right there at the start of preseason, I can see how important it is for him to have his gregarious personality around a Yaroslav Askarov, around a Shakir Mukhmudulin. And after many of the games when I'm sitting there doing interviews with Shakir or with Askie, he's coming by, he's riffing in Russian or he's riffing in English, giving them a hard time while they're doing the interview. Or just other times I've seen him around, he's cracking jokes to those guys, making them laugh. That is wildly important, especially when you are not in your native tongue as a living situation. Yes, Yaroslav Askarov is a fluent English speaker almost. You know, he says he still doesn't have all the words he would like, but he's pretty good. He's got to think for a second, but his English is pretty good. He does interviews. He can joke. Shakir Mukhmudulin has taken great strides in his English. He's still got a ways to go, but I'm able to do interviews with him now, which I really appreciate because he's an insightful fellow who also played a very, very strong game last night. But to have a guy like Dmitry Orlov there to riff with those guys and kind of lighten the room, you see how important that is. And then you look at his play on the ice. Again, he's been a great player for the Sharks, a great pickup, consistent. You know, he's had a couple hiccups, some bumps in the road, but that's going to happen with any player that's on a new team. But he came up with a big goal last night. He's come up with big assists to this point of the year, but he gets his first goal that gets the Sharks back into it. He was due, and you see how big that moment was for everyone on the team. Everybody was excited for him. Everybody saw that they were still in this game, down 2-0, and Orlov, the veteran, the glue guy, gets them right back into it. Just as Ryan Reeves, when he had the overturned goal, it wasn't going to be his because it bounced off a defender. But Ryan Reeves was the one driving net front that had the defender there that probably would have made that a 2-2 game if it had not been overturned. I know, again, that's a big if. But the point is you have these veteran glue guys that are making things happen. John Klingberg, you know, he's had the double hip surgeries. He is not the same athlete that he was when he was younger in his career. But again, he is very intelligent. He is very thoughtful. He's very insightful. He understands what his job is. He understands how the game of hockey is going to work. And I think that as his career is progressing, he's understanding his body that much more. And he spoke about it after the game, which I thought was really, really interesting because not a lot of guys are always going to be that honest about their limitations and about what their bodies can and can't do anymore. But these are all veterans that know how to get it done, whether it's going to be an Orlov, whether it's going to be a Klingberg, whether it's going to be a Reeves, whether it's going to be a Goodrow, whether it's going to be a Tyler Toffoli. We put so much emphasis on what Mac and what Will and what Ecky and what Askie and what Shaq and what Dickinson and Misa. And you go down the list, Colin Graf is another one. He just doesn't play like a young player. But we spend so much time focusing on those guys, and for good reason. Because very much in the recent, you know, overall talking points of the San Jose Sharks, it's about what the young guys are doing. It's about Mac and Will exploding. It's about Colin Graf, you know, leading the way with goals, or it's about Askarov saving the day. And we can throw Alex Nedeljkovic into that list of veterans who were brought in to succeed and be good locker room guys and good leadership guys. And it's not hard to see that the Sharks have been able to put together a really good dressing room. And I talked to Tyler Toffoli about this a couple weeks ago, and he said, you know, it's not like the vibes last year were bad either. They had a lot of good guys in the room. It's why they brought in an Alex Wenberg. It's why they brought in a Barclay Goodrow. You know, it's not just that they're good guys. These are also very, very highly skilled hockey players who can help you win games. Last year, the Sharks just didn't have enough overall, and it was still in a different period of the rebuild. They've taken a big step forward this year. Part of that is due to the fact that Macklin Celebrini has taken a big, big step forward. But the fact of the matter is you're combining the skill with the overall mindset that a lot of these guys have, and it's allowing a rapid evolution. And that's why I come back to the original idea where I was talking about them staying in the game. They're in the game. They give themselves a chance. They fight to the end. There is a cohesiveness to this team, a core identity of feeling like they can now win any single game. All they need is a little bit of momentum. Well, Dmitry Orlov gave them that momentum, right? And then they get the game-tying goal from Klingberg, another veteran who comes up with a Kling bomb as we're getting in the final, you know, less than 2 minutes to play. What was it, about 90 seconds left to play? All the while, you've got the veteran Nedeljkovic making big save after big save. Neither of the goals that were scored had anything to do with his game. And then you've got Alex Wenberg, another veteran, coming up with the game-winning goal at the most critical juncture in a game that the Sharks a year ago probably end up on the losing side of things. And I'm not saying they didn't deserve to win last night. I think they did most definitely deserve to win last night. Any game where you win, you deserve it. But the fact of the matter is that's a game that a year ago, I'm not sure the Sharks are walking away with a win. But they've got more veteran presence this year. The young players have taken a step forward. And you have everybody stepping up in a situation. Because, yes, there are going to be those games where Macklin Celebrini or Will Smith or Yaroslav Askarov play the hero role, take over, do everything right, elevate to a level that very few players are capable of. And that's why they had such high draft status. That's why they had, you know, such a big trade to bring in Askarov. Those are all parts of the narrative. But you need everybody else to contribute, and that's what the Sharks got last night. It wasn't about Will and Macklin and Eklund and their exploits or Yaroslav Askarov. It was about the veterans. And I think that's just a huge part of what it takes, not just to win in the NHL, but on the road in the NHL. When you're going up against a team like Toronto that has so much pressure on them, every game is a hair on fire situation for that franchise, and they often play like it. And there's so much attention to every team when they come to Toronto. When Macklin Celebrini and the San Jose Sharks are in Toronto, the media circus descends because of what he represents to the NHL and potentially for Team Canada coming up at the Olympic Games. That's going to have everyone wildly focused on the task at hand and on what the Sharks are bringing to the table. And it's probably a little bit more attention than they're used to, but I don't think it's a bad thing because the Sharks are probably only going to be garnering more attention as they continue their ascent in the NHL. But the veterans stepped up last night. The depth stepped up last night. The team mentality, the cohesiveness, the way in which these guys fight for each other, that was on full display. And it's a game where they were not their best, they were not their most consistent, but they found a way to win. And I think that's the most important thing. Give yourself a chance, play to the final horn, and if you've got a chance to get it into overtime, well, then see what happens in overtime. And that's just what the Sharks did. The Maple Leafs never pulled away in this game. They got down 2-0, but they had a big response 60 seconds later to keep it a one-goal game. The Sharks were actually getting shots on goal last night, which was prevalent right from the start, which I was very much appreciative of, because you know that's something that me and Drew Remenda like to harp upon all the time, but they gave themselves that chance. And that is something that competitive and good teams do in the NHL. They give themselves a chance in games. And yes, in the past couple of years, there have been some incredible comebacks by San Jose, and those have been very, very fun. I'm not denying that in the slightest, but it's also something that's not indicative of their ability to win games overall. It was kind of like, okay, they had a great comeback. They gave themselves a chance. They got it to overtime, but they lost. Or they had a comeback and they won, but then they would follow it up with a 7-game losing streak, whereas the San Jose Sharks right now are consistently winning. And that's, you know, something that I think is very much different about what we saw a year ago. They remain 5-5-0 in their last 10 games, which is .500 hockey, but that back and forth nature, as much as people want them to string together some wins, that is huge, huge growth compared to where they were a year ago. They have played 32 games. They have 15 wins. They had 20 wins through 82 games last year, guys. They are only 5 games away from tying where they were in that season. So again, big, big growth for San Jose. big time opportunity for San Jose to continue taking steps forward. Every win is a step. Every point is a step because they were so hard to come by 1 year ago. And especially these overtime wins where we say to ourselves, it'd be nice if they won in regulation. Well, yeah, of course. But go back a year ago and you are dying for any win. And again, it's a big step forward that this franchise is taking as they continue to find ways to win, to get 2 points consistently, to play 500 hockey and have themselves in a playoff conversation. Let's get into some of these highlights from last night in the San Jose Sharks 3-2 overtime win against Toronto. It was the Leafs who struck first, 14:33 of the first period. Dakota Joshua with his fifth of the year, assisted by Jake McCabe and Will Nylander.
Rebound, Nylander gets it back from Joshua. He's on the left side of the ice now. He spins away from Dickinson, creates some room for himself. Nylander puts on the brakes behind the net, feeds near side, shot, tip, score! McCabe took the shot, Dakota Joshua right in front of the net. Looks like he got a piece of it, and it's 1-0 Toronto at 14:33 of the first.
And I will say that was a little bit weird at that point because I felt like the Sharks, despite going down 1-0, had clearly been the better team in the first period. They were more aggressive, right? They were playing a better brand of hockey, creating more shots, looking like they were more engaged from the get-go compared to what they had done in some of their previous games, which I was very, very happy to see. But you know, throughout this game, the Sharks kind of had, as Ryan Morosovsky said after, they were, you know, stringing together some good shifts and then stringing together some bad shifts. And they had kind of a back and forth going on. But that's part of surviving games in the NHL when you don't have your absolute best possible game on the ice. And that's something the Sharks have done multiple times this year, is not played their best game, but still walked away with a win. But for whatever reason, the hockey gods did not reward the Sharks in that first period, and they did find themselves at a 1-0 deficit. And we have to go almost exactly the same point a period later. The first goal came at 14:33 of the first. The second goal came at 14:32 of the second. Auston Matthews on a power play. Just as Alex Nedeljkovic had no chance to make a stop on the first goal, which was a tip play, this other one, no chance. They went backdoor. Matthews was there. I did wonder why there was no one near Auston Matthews on the back iron, and I think that's something the Sharks probably are going to look at in the film and think, okay, why is the most dangerous scorer on the ice unmarked at that situation? But, you know, penalties, when you're on the kill, you get pulled around, and you have to respect the shot of a guy on the outside like Nylander. But again, that was just one of those moments where as soon as that puck got through, it was a dangerous pass. The Sharks probably 9 times out of 10 break that up, but it did get through to Auston Matthews. And if it gets through, he's not going to miss. And he had it in the back of the net before Nedeljkovic could even respond. Just a great, great goal from a great, great goal scorer. California native, San Ramon native, might I add.
Back to the point, there's Riley skating to his left, flips Nylander, right back to Riley, watched by Dellandrea. Riley moves away from him, throws it over to the left wing sideboards, and now it's Nylander across the ice, they score! Auston Matthews gets his second power play goal of the season on a brilliant feed through a seam by Nylander, and the Maple Leafs are on top 2-0. Exactly what you said. Yep. Don't tempt it.
So at this point, the Sharks are down 2-0. They had had a good first period, but still found themselves down 1-0. They had a chance to tie off a penalty shot for Ty Dellandrea, but they couldn't put that home. Then they give up the power play that leads to a goal for Auston Matthews. And this is kind of a moment where the game can go in either direction, but it's a veteran. It's Dmitry Orlov. It's an offseason acquisition coming up big time for San Jose. Having the deficit just a minute later after Toronto goes up 2-0 and gets San Jose right back in this game.
Play off the left boards. Wenberg gathers it, moves down the left wing, crosses the line, fakes the drop, moves back behind the net, stick handles to the corner, sends back to Klingberg on the point. He's got time. He slides to Orlov, who shoots. He scores! Dmitry Orlov gets his first goal of the season. The last time that he scored was 39 games ago. The last time he scored on the road was in Los Angeles in March. And that was 20 road games ago. And the San Jose Sharks are on the board with a big one from Dmitry Orlov.
A, he was due. B, that is what veterans do in the NHL. Veterans with a championship pedigree like he has. They come up with the big goals at the big moments. And that's exactly what San Jose needed at that point in the game. Now, the Sharks kept on pushing, right? Like they kept on giving themselves an opportunity as we got into the third period, but they couldn't find that game-tying goal. Things were getting late. things were getting desperate. And then John Klingberg, who assisted on Dmitry Orlov's goal, by the way, comes up with a Kling bomb with just about 85 seconds left to give San Jose a 2-2 tie and give them a chance for overtime.
Klingberg keeps it in again to Settebrini, to Eklund, off his skate. In front, Wennberg stealing the puck. Moves it back to Settebrini near side. Now back to the point. Minute and a half to go. Here's the shot. Score!
It's in.
John Klingberg puts it up in the air, and the Sharks tie the game. They finally figure out how to get one past Hildeby with a minute 25 to go. And a former Maple Leaf gets the job done. It's 2-2.
And you could feel at that point how deflated the building was in Toronto. Even if we weren't there, you could just hear it. You could see there was some shoulders slumping on the sides of Toronto, who the year has not been kind to them. Yes, they were on a 6-2-2 stretch entering last night's game, but they were still not the juggernaut that they were in previous seasons. They'd been having trouble on the power play, even if they scored one against San Jose. But this was a team that did not immediately have that response or attitude about them like you felt they were going to come back and win the game against San Jose in those remaining roughly 90 seconds. Instead, San Jose takes it to overtime. And again, this is about finding a way, keeping it close. This is what teams do. And as we get into this final highlight where the Sharks do walk away with the overtime win, it is getting harder and harder for me to not draw parallels to that team in 93-94 that had such a horrible start and then turned it around and made their first ever playoff run for the San Jose Sharks and had the great moments, the Jamie Baker goal, you know, all of these things that we talk about with San Jose in that season. Not that this year will be a mirror image of that or any way, shape, or form. It just feels like a team that's coming off of two rough years, more if you want to be more accurate, but they had only had 2 years in their franchise existence at that point. But to have the awful start and then to turn it around and be in the playoff conversation, this is just, it's hard not to draw comparisons. And I know that you can say the comparison is the thief of joy, or oftentimes the thief of critical thinking, because it's just a lazy, low-hanging fruit argument or, you know, reference point. But it's hard not to see some of the parallels. And so when the Sharks got this win last night, I just wondered to myself, the belief in that locker room has to be sky high, right? Like the way these guys believe they can win, the way they think they can give themselves a chance, and that whole identity of teams in sports where they think all they need is a chance, that is dangerous, because there is an X factor about that. I think that really, really good teams, they play to, you know, just an extremely high level. But oftentimes when they're not playing at that extremely high level, they kind of run into roadblocks because they're used to kind of humming along and everything going perfectly and being a smooth, you know, well-oiled machine. But the Sharks team, that's not where they are. But they do have the power of belief. They have the power of youth on their side. They have veteran experience. And that's dangerous because they don't give up on games. I think there are other more experienced teams in the NHL that might just pack it in if they're down late, but the Sharks keep on fighting because they have the power of belief on their side. And it was a veteran, Alex Wennberg. Wennberg, as I like to call him after he gets these game-winning goals, he came through with a big, big moment. Although it was temporarily in doubt, I immediately watching the game in real time in the NBC studio said, uh-oh, were we offside? Thankfully, we were not. And Wennberg puts it in the back of the net to give San Jose a big 2 points.
Sharks have three forwards on the ice. Here's Matthews across the line. Loses on the check to Wennberg. Ferraro takes off. The lead for Wennberg. 2-on-1 developing. Wennberg moving in with Eklund. Back to Eklund. A shot. Save. Rebound. Score! Alex Wennberg gets the winner for the Sharks in overtime. Half the team goes to Wennberg. Half the team goes to Nedeljkovic. A huge win for the Sharks in Toronto. And a stunned crowd is going to go home with the San Jose Sharks winning by the score of 3-2.
And yes, it did come under review. Here's that call as well.
It's so
After
close.
Reviewing the play, it was determined that the play was onside. We have a good goal.
I cannot imagine how frustrating it would have been for San Jose had that goal been taken off the board, man, because they'd already had one. And we've seen that a lot lately with San Jose, and that might be something they have to work on in practice. I may have gotten a couple of texts last night from a couple of friends who said, this is what I used to have to work on with my kids' teams, get them to stay onside if they were on a relative break. And I'm thinking, yeah, it's still there. It's still something you need to work on, even when you're a professional, apparently. But yeah, that was a great moment for San Jose. a great moment for Alex Wenberg, who, again, who is one of the most likable guys I have ever met in professional sports. Like I said, he's ridiculously handsome, so I try not to stand next to him for too long, at least not on camera. But he comes up with the big plays. He is one of those veteran leaders on the team. He is a veteran threat that came through when the rest of the young stars were not having their best night. He comes up with the big moment, just like Dmitry Orlov, just like John Klingberg, just like Alex Nedeljkovic. These guys stepped up in a starring role on the road against a good team to get the Sharks a big 2 points. Now, we were talking about John Klingberg earlier. I do want to play this clip from you that he said in the postgame where he talked about the realities of adjusting his game to where his body is at this point in time.
No, I think, yeah, you're trying to stay positive for sure. Sometimes it takes a toll on you for sure. But I think you got to realize as you're getting older, but also dealing with health issues, you're not going to be the same player. And I think I'm starting to understand more and more that I can't chase the game like I used to do. It has to come to me. And just reading off the situations better. And hopefully I can keep building on that.
And I think everybody needs to hear that from Klingberg to have that moment of realization of his body aging. He's dealing with, you know, the after effects of 2 hip surgeries, on one on each hip, right? And he's aware of those things. And I think there has been frustration, at least that I have noted from the fan base, with his play at sometimes this year. But as frustrating as it is for you, I can only imagine it's that more frustrating on the inside for Klingberg. And he has to go through that adjustment period, and he has to figure out how to make his game be as effective as it can be at this point. Because you either adjust or you find yourself out of the NHL. And I think he's going through that adjustment process. They asked him to make his decisions quicker. They asked him to make some changes to his game, some adjustments, if you will. He's done those. He's got a multi-game point streak going. He came up with a game-tying goal. He had an assist on Orlov's goal. That is an older player recognizing his limitations and changing his game to maximize his efficacy out there on the ice, but also his time in the NHL. And I have to point out, as again, we keep on hammering the idea of the veterans, that's something that the young players notice as well. A lot of the young players, when they get to this point of this career, they're saying to themselves, well, this is what I've always done to have the success that I've had up to this point. Why would I change? And I think that's a hard mentality to get over. It's not unique to the NHL. It's not unique to just young players, but it's old veteran players as well. And I don't mean old as in aged. I just mean guys who have been in the league for a while. Klingberg is a respected individual. He has been around a long time for a reason. He knows how to get it done in this league. If he is willing to adapt and change, that sets a standard that the young guys can adhere to, that they can understand and they can see right in front of them that, hey, he's changing his game. He's getting rewarded with time on the ice and points on the score sheet. Okay, if I do that, will I have those same results? Ultimately, though, there's only one way to find out. But again, when veteran guys make the changes that they are asked to do, it sets that example for the young guys to adhere to. And I'm sure there have been frustrations for Shakir Mukmadulin and Sam Dickinson and Will Smith and Macklin Celebrini and Colin Graf. You go down the line with all these young players that are consistently out there for San Jose. But if they've made those adjustments, they've come up with better results. We've seen Will Smith in particular take big, big strides from January of last year because he made changes in his game and started playing better off the puck. You know, Macklin Celebrini came in with a rare form of completeness, but there are still things that he's done better. He turned that puck over in overtime, game number 2 against Anaheim, and has been more careful since that point. Lessons need to be learned. It's not just exclusive to the young players. The old guys learn lessons about their bodies, and they figure out how they can make themselves a better, more impactful player without dealing with the same athleticism that they maybe had earlier in their career, and they start adding more. So again, it's something that the young guys can learn from, and the older guys, the veterans, I hate to keep on calling them older guys because they're in their early 30s, but you know, it's like they figure it out, and when they show it, the young guys figure it out as well. More post-game commentary, Alex Wenberg weighing in on John Klingberg.
No, I mean, he's a hell of a player. I played with him, what is it, 14 years ago or something, so I saw it then, and I know, I mean, he still has that skill. I mean, you can see when he's walking the line, just the way he's shooting the puck and reading the play. So he's a hell of a demon. It's a lot of fun to play with him again, and you can just see right now too, like when you get a little confidence, you get a little bit of swagger in your game and you get some bounces. I mean, he's just gonna be better and better.
Again, the confidence is just oozing out of these guys. I love it, and I want them to take that into the game On Saturday, I will remind you, it is a very early start time, 11:30 pregame right here on the Sharks Audio Network, 12 o'clock go time. The Sharks, 2-2 on this road trip. I cannot repeat how big it would be for San Jose for them to walk away with a 3-2 road trip against five very, very good teams, and especially considering that they beat Carolina already on this trip. That's a good team. They beat Toronto. That's a good team. They lost to two good teams in Dallas and Philadelphia. Pittsburgh has had a surprising start to the season. It's another challenge, but if the Sharks could get that win, it would set themselves up for some big success going into those final three at home before they head into two that surround the Christmas holiday. We are out of time. Saturday, 11:30 pre, 12 o'clock go time right here on the Sharks Audio Network as San Jose takes on the Pens. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey, signing off.
This podcast can be found on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app. All music by Yogi Yend.